Hello, right-minded listeners. I want to remind folks that May is Voice Month. At least it will be for any of you who join me and Linda Joy Myers for our four-week voice class that starts on May 4th. The class is geared toward memoirists, but writers of any genre can and will benefit from a deep dive into voice. It's a class about permission, about courage, and about giving yourself the freedom to be you on the page, to experiment, and importantly, to have fun. Also, we're just a week away from the event that kicks it all off, Your Voice, Your Moment, a day-long event where we'll be joined by Elizabeth Gilbert, author and teacher Joshua Moore, and literary agent Aliyah Hannah Habib. Check out these two events, our May 1st extravaganza and our four-week class, discounted to make writing and learning through this pandemic doable, at www.magicofmemoir.com. Hello, creators, conversation starters, engagers, and sharers. I am Brooke Warner, and I am here holding so much gratitude for and with my magnanimous co-host, Grant Faulkner. And Grant, I'm excited about today's topic and today's guest for a lot of reasons. We're in the middle of a global pandemic, all of us staying at home. And it's such an unprecedented situation. And at the same time, we have something going on where we're experiencing something collectively for the first time, truly, certainly in my lives and in generations. And since we're talking about writing and things that pertain to writers on this podcast, I think it's fair to say that writers are also having a collective experience, but it's also a roller coaster of an experience. And Grant, here's the picture of what I'm seeing out there. It's writers who are both creatively inspired, so they feel like their work is more important than ever, and they have more time than usual to pursue their craft, which are all good things. But at the same time, they're distracted, maybe writing things that are surprising them, and definitely feeling conflicted about the authorly work of self-promotion in an environment where so many people are suffering and where so many people are experiencing loss. And so it feels like pulling up to the creative well and being so grateful, and then also feeling confused and bewildered and a little guilty about drinking from it. I don't know. Does this image resonate with what you're seeing out there?
Definitely, especially back in March when lockdowns were going into effect and especially scary and confusing news was coming out every day. You know, we grappled with what we should provide writers via NaNoWriMo, if anything. I think the premise of inviting writers to write their story and realize their creative potential just somehow seemed different in this new context. And we didn't want to be preaching the benefits of doing big creative acts while others were ill or dealing with the illnesses of loved ones or facing economic hardship and anxiety because of lost jobs. We just, you know, didn't want to be insensitive or uncaring. So we actually polled or surveyed our writers, and we received literally thousands of responses asking us to put on a special writing event, which was very heartening. And we ended up calling it hashtag Stay Home RIMO. And we essentially provided daily, and we still provide daily prompts around physical, emotional, and creative wellness. And it was just really inspiring to see how useful and practical and necessary writing is, no matter what you're going through. And it was interesting to see people's need to connect through our community during this time as well. I understand when the experience of trauma doesn't allow for writing. Definitely, if you've experienced deep trauma, sometimes you just don't have the power to be creative. But in this case, I think writing was a pathway through anxiety for so many. And creativity is actually good for your immune system. That's scientifically proven. So I think we need to drink at that creative trough and not feel guilty, because it centers us and it makes us better people and better equipped to deal with this.
Yeah, thank you for that, Grant. And thanks to NaNoWriMo for stepping up in that way. It's really touching to me. And I do want to spend a little extra time talking about the paradox of those mixed feelings writers are experiencing right now, in part because our podcast is about writing and the writing life. And the writing life and writing success don't exist independently from self-promotion and building an author platform and getting yourself out there. That is the hard stuff for a lot of people, even during normal times. And I have a whole slew of authors publishing on She Writes Press this spring who are really struggling with how to promote their books and how to be excited about their projects in the face of COVID-19. And this is true for writers who are building their platforms as well. And I think there's another layer to look at, which is overwhelm and burnout and just more general feelings people are grappling with around the world, you know, just feeling so uncertain right now? And do my words and my message matter when people are losing their jobs and their livelihoods and when people are dying? And this is a paradox because it's how to hold both things as true at the same time, to not feel that it's your responsibility or your moral imperative to shut down your creativity or the things that feed and motivate you just because the world is upside down. And I want to say to people that it's okay. In fact, it's great if you're feeling creatively inspired. It's amazing if you're generating a lot of content right now. And it's okay to be having meaningful conversations about your work and things that you care about that are not connected to COVID-19.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of authors, including friends of mine who had books come out within the last month or two, who were just highly conflicted about posting about their work on social media during this time. It just, you know, it seems so odd and perhaps uncaring to post one of those look at me, buy my books kind of posts. And yet, in so many, in some ways, life has to go on no matter what happens in the world. But I felt the same way even when I was posting about these our right-minded episodes. But then I thought, if we have a fabulous episode with someone like Elizabeth Gilbert, who we're super proud and honored to have on, why do it unless we're going to put it in the world? And who am I to make it the blanket judgment that others don't want to hear this now, or that it will come off as uncaring to be promoting Elizabeth Gilbert? You know, we all have different reactions to what's going on, different moments of receptivity and anxiety. So we have to create a normal life within these very abnormal circumstances, I think. And I've personally long grappled with this exact question, whether, you know, the world is in a state of crisis or not. You know, I've doubted my writing or all the time that's gone into it. And I've thought maybe I really should have spent this time working to help homeless people. You know, who needs my novel, and aren't there enough novels in the world anyway? But in the end, I believe there's a much larger way to answer that question. For example, I think writing and being part of a writing community and helping others to write and believe in themselves is actually one way of dealing with many of the world's problems. So, you know, creativity doesn't only boost one's own immune system, in other words, but the immune system of your community and the planet's immune system.
Right. And I specifically remember a post that I wrote on Huffington Post a couple years ago where I was championing indie writers. And I think it was the one where I was taking Amazon to task for allowing third-party sellers to take over the buy box. And I was really worked up about it. And someone in the comments said, people are dying of hunger, you know, in essence, being like, who gives a shit about the buy box? And I remember looking at that comment and being like, you know what? No, like, you're not going to deflate me by asserting some kind of false measure of suffering that I have to hold my values up against. You know, it's what purpose did that serve, right? It was to shame me and to be like, there are bigger problems than this going on. And writers are already grappling with that in their own minds, as you said, right? And like right now, COVID-19 is ravaging the country, but then to say, well, therefore I'm not going to create, you know, therefore it's also my job to suffer with them, I think is misguided. And so I certainly understand that people are worried about self-promotion. They're worried about seeming tone deaf or insensitive or self-centered, which is why I'm excited to bring Dan Blank on today, because I think he, you know, consistently offers a reframe to this conversation. And to have a good relationship with self-promotion, you really need to come at it from an authentic place. And I see a lot of people doing that really well right now. And I think we can all learn from other people who are doing it well.
Yeah, definitely. And the key phrase you use, Brooke, is coming at it from an authentic place and a place of generosity. And, you know, that's what I thought we were doing with our Stay Home RIMO initiative. We just wanted to serve writers in a difficult time. We weren't making money or asking for things in return. And it's been really heartening to see the writing community at large, you know, has done this in so many ways. I think of our local organization, Lit Quake, which hosted a series of virtual events that they put on really on the fly right after things happened. And authors showed up and donated their time and their efforts. And it was all free programming and, you know, required an immense amount of work with no direct payoff per se. And likewise, you know, I see just so many literary festivals doing the same thing. It's amazing. And I love that I can virtually attend a book festival like Wordplay in Minneapolis now, and people in Minneapolis can attend the Bay Area Book Festival's events here, at least in a way. So, you know, in different ways, we're all coming together, and organizations and authors are you know, working hard for little or no money to make these things happen and connect people through stories. And on a small level, one day as I was walking my dog, there was a tree in my neighborhood that had stories and poems hung in it. And it was wonderful because they were written on pieces of cardboard that were cut into different shapes and decorated with drawings. And it was like a kind of like a Christmas tree of stories. And whoever made them hung them in the tree just as a generous offering for a little bit of relief and inspiration. And when I saw that, I had my little Lit Mag 100-word story put out a call for other people to do this, to write 100-word stories and hang them in trees. And it was wonderful. Some people sent us photos of that. And it was just like a really nice moment to think about what we're capable of as human beings. And I think sharing one's book can be in the same spirit. You're sharing a piece of art that you've worked, that you've put your heart into and your soul into for years after all.
Yeah, I love that story and the visual of that too. And I do want to just add a couple of resources to your list because Audible is giving away thousands of free audiobooks right now in its kids catalog. And so you can go to stories.audible.com and just start listening. And She Writes, my company, is offering a series of free webinars through She Writes University. And so people can also go check that out at shewritesuniversity.com/free. And in order to do this, you know, we of course had to ask the permission of the teachers who taught those courses. And it was so heartening and amazing to have them come back to us and say, of course we want to do this. Of course we want to give our content away to people right now. And my own book, my audio book, came out about 2 weeks ago in the midst of all this stuff. And I got 50 promo codes with its publication. And so I posted on Facebook that I wanted to give those away to anybody who asked. And that is what I did. And I still have about 20 left. So I just want to say to any listener out there, if you want one of those promo codes, just find me on social media and ask me for one. And I would love to send it to you. And the reason that I feel compelled to do this is because of this collective spirit of generosity that I feel flowing from every corner of the art world right now. I have gotten so much and I want to give what I can too. And if this spirit of generosity is something that we can all hold on to and carry with us to the other side of this epidemic, I dare say something quite good will have come from this experience.
Yeah, let's hope. It's hard to say that we need a crisis like this to return to our better, more generous selves, but I think a crisis can provide a shock that changes us in many profound ways. You know, it gives us perspective on ourselves and what is important. And what we've learned with this crisis is just how fragile the world is, whether it's the healthcare system or your favorite indie bookstore. So I'm inspired by the way people are showing up to support the things that matter to them. And I hope we can maintain that clarity and generosity, both individually and as a society after this is over.
Gosh, me too, Grant. And I took David White's 3-part series last month called Courage and Poetry. And I found it to be very intimate, very inspiring, even though, or maybe because of the fact that he had 4,500 people signed up for the class. Mm. And I knew a lot of friends and acquaintances who'd signed up. And so it was a bit like NaNoWriMo in that sense, knowing that you're connected to all these souls, even though you're not sitting in the same room. And then after it was over, I posted and shared about my experiences of the class online. And this is really the essence of self-promoting or marketing, as Dan will attest to when we talk to him in a minute. Just about showing up and being a conversation starter and a person who engages others and being present and acknowledging and being as generous as you can afford to be. So really, if you think about it in that way, it takes a lot of the pressure off. And then being out in the world, living out loud and sharing your truth feels a lot more possible and a lot more heartfelt and real.
So true, Brooke. So let's dive even deeper into a heartfelt and real conversation about marketing and author platforms and more with Dan Blank right after this quick break. You know, Brooke, with all that's going on in the world right now, the Great Courses Plus is particularly valuable. We're spending more time than ever at home, obviously, and lots of us who have kids at home are trying to find interesting and educational things for them to watch. So, in fact, the Great Courses Plus has been a little bit of a lifesaver, at least in our household, these past few weeks.
Yes, that's so true. And it's for kids of all ages. So my guy who's 9 and your kids who are in high school. And one of the things I've loved about it is exploring the great outdoors while staying in my very confined indoors, since I'm getting to experience a little bit of armchair travel. And that's especially good for those of us who derive a lot of happiness from being out in the world. Certainly true for me. And the Great Courses Plus is helping me with these long days and weeks by giving me content to look at. And I am so grateful. Grant, is there a course that you've checked out since we last talked?
Yeah, I happen to be still taking the course on learning how to play the guitar, and I'll probably just keep repeating that course for a good while. But then since my daughter, she actually wants to become the first doctor in the history of our family on any side, I think the first science-related occupation of any sort. And so we're taking a guide to infectious diseases together. So it's odd to say, but a virus has led to father-daughter bonding and learning.
That's great. And one of the things that I love about the Great Courses Plus is how nimble and responsive they are. They add courses that are meaningful to what we're going through today. I watched the course called What is Coronavirus? And there have been a number of new classes with historical relevance. And I, again, super grateful that they're doing that. I don't have a scholarly dog like Buster to enjoy these with. And James will not tolerate the virus or the history classes. But my dog, Bee, is a people pleaser. So she lets me watch whatever I want. And so we are streaming from the TV now, and that makes her happy because we can enjoy these classes from the comfort of our own couch.
Sounds fun. We have a new special offer from the Great Courses Plus this week, and it's a free trial of unlimited access to the entire library. I want to emphasize the words free and then limited and library. So you can sign up today using our special URL to get started. And Brooke, can you provide our special URL?
That's right. We have a special URL that was created to be used. So please use it. It is thegreatcoursesplus.com/rightminded.
You have to say it twice now because it's in the script.
Right. Thank you. I love saying it twice. Remember, thegreatcoursesplus.com/rightminded. Welcome back. We are here with today's guest, Dan Blank. And Dan is the founder of We Grow Media, where he helps writers develop their author platforms, connect with readers, and launch their books. He's the author of the book, Be the Gateway, a practical guide to sharing your creative work and engaging an audience. And he's worked with thousands of writers and amazing organizations who support creative people, such as Penguin Random House, Sesame Workshop, Hachette Book Group, Workman Publishing, Writer's House, Writer's Digest, Library Journal, and countless others. And you can find Dan on his blog at wegrowmedia.com or on Twitter and Instagram at Dan Blank. Hey, Dan, we're so happy to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So I don't want to put too much pressure on you, but part of the reason I reached out to you is because you're such a voice of reason and you have so much clarity in your work around authentic connections and what you call human-centered marketing. And right now, obviously, we're going through this crazy collective experience that is COVID-19. So many writers and authors I know are feeling really mixed feelings right now. Like there's this opportunity and growth and creativity, but also in the face of real suffering and people dying, they're really worried about being tone deaf, you know, and trying to push or promote their work in the midst of a global crisis. So my question for you is, what do you say? What advice do you have for writers and authors who feel this way?
I think the first two key things is to know why you create, know why you write. And this applies to really every kind of writing, whether it's nonfiction, a novel, memoir, poetry, anything. And part of that is really understanding what is that journey that you go on? Why do people experience this? What resonates with them? And on the flip side of it, you can think about what is the transformation that happens when people experience your work, when someone reads one of your books, whether it's a spy thriller, whether it's something really deep or really meaningful or how to, because what that does is instead of framing it as, should I sell during this period? Should I market my work? You get to think of it on a, you know, as you said, like a more human-centered level, this idea of, well, this is why I create. And this is how it comes into the fabric of who we are. And I've talked to readers, and this is what they get out of it. This is the experience of that work. When you do that, it gives you a lot of more interesting and, quite frankly, more effective ways to talk about your work. And when you think of the idea of marketing and sales in that way, which I think is really genuinely how it happens, it's an ecosystem of actions. Again, it sort of allows you to take a step back and not look at marketing and sales as if it's an edge. And you're either safe at the top of the edge or you're jumping off. You realize it's many, many things. It's many little interactions. It's many ways to talk about what you create, how you create it, why you create it. And again, you really start thinking about it in terms of empathy of, well, gosh, who are readers? If I was at a conference right now behind a table and people came up to my table to talk about the book, what would we really talk about after I gave them a pitch? Like, what would a long conversation look like? So that's, I think, the initial way that I might frame this is to sort of expand the conversation a little bit.
You have a weekly podcast that's similar to Right Minded, and you talk to writers and artists, but your focus is about how they've doubled down on their creative process. And Brooke and I both listened to your March 18 podcast, where you talked about the convergence between the name of your podcast, The Creative Shift, which is a wonderful name, and what we're going through right now, which is a worldwide creative shift, literally changing every day. And your insights were really profound. You talked about this opportunity we have right now to create and to show up for a creative process and also to be generous with one another. And I get the sense that these are messages you're sharing all the time, actually, but it feels like we've come to a moment where your particular message is cutting through the noise of the other BS marketing stuff that a lot of us are used to. Do you feel that way? And can you tell our listeners more about your take on our current creative shift?
Yeah. Thank you for that, by the way. The podcast to me is about that idea. It's about one thing is I'm so obsessed with this idea of how do we take risk? How do we take creative risk? And, you know, for me, I just do deep dives into people's careers. They're always writers or maybe artists, musicians. And what I really slow down for in those interviews is the moment where they're taking a risk. And oftentimes they don't realize that that's the moment I'm waiting for, where they say, so I talked to my spouse and we decided I'm going to leave my job and I'm going to try to pursue writing that book. And then they keep moving on. I'm like, whoa, slow down. Like, where were you sitting? Were you sitting or standing? What room were you in? What was their expression? Like, because that's the moment that I think that we all worry about, we all avoid taking these huge risks in life because we're good people who don't want to endanger ourselves or our loved ones or our families. And yet, whenever I talk to someone who's taken that creative risk, or someone who hasn't taken a risk but has been thrust into a risk, and the easy example has always been when someone's laid off from their job. In almost every instance, you talk to that person a year later and they say, thank goodness that happened. I was in that job way too long. I don't know why I wouldn't leave, but you know, once they laid me off, it was very difficult for several months. But then I got to remember what I really want to do when I talk to more people and blah, blah, blah. I came to the new place that I want to be, the new work that I do, when I feel better about it. It feels like a fresh beginning. So when I think about this idea that the opportunity that anyone has when change is happening, it is always this idea of really thinking about, what do you want to double down on? What do you really care about? And I think that that is a terrifying thing for most people. And it's this opportunity that we have. It's this opportunity to say, well, how do I want to use my resources? What's really important to me? And I think that especially when it comes anywhere near a topic of marketing, where a lot of people freeze is with the idea of outreach. They're really happy to learn about some button on Twitter or some button on Amazon or some new feature because they can kind of do it from a distance. They can push the button, hopefully, or follow the plan. And those things can be very powerful. And where people really get mixed up is when you have to reach out and email someone, say, hey, maybe we could do this thing together, or could you read this for me, or whatever that is. And I think that in the time that we're in right now, we are all reminded of the power of those connections. It's been really cool to see how people are using digital means to just show up online. It's kind of funny when you see a celebrity or a musician just sort of go on Instagram Live for the first time and they're like, they have no idea what they're doing, but they know they can't do what they used to do, which was go to a concert or show up somewhere. So they're having to reinvent that idea of, gee, I love singing and I love talking to fans. Let me find these other ways of doing that.
Well, Dan, that actually goes right into my next question, which is perfect because you and I both have 9-year-old boys, and I know that you also have a younger son. Is he 4 or 5?
He just turned 3.
Oh, 3. Oh my gosh, younger than I thought. So I love that you were talking recently in a newsletter about all these free resources, and you're just talking about that right now, from musicians to artists to coaches. And so my son has been tuning into the Mo Willems course that you mentioned in your newsletter, where he's teaching kids how to draw. And I've been similarly moved by the swell of online community that we're seeing in this crisis and the generosity of others. And generosity seems to be a real cornerstone to your understanding of author platforms. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that and how someone who doesn't have a big following can also be generous during these times.
Yeah. The thing I always think about is how we all have this incredible power to reach out to someone and make them feel special. So if you're an author, one, I would always encourage you to understand the marketplace a little bit. Just if you write in a certain type of book, what other books would be next to yours on the shelf? Just get a sense of who those other authors of the other books are, maybe why those readers like these books. And then you have this incredible power to get on Instagram or Twitter or social media or Facebook or whatever, and just really gush about those books. Like, actually look at next week and say, next week is all about this book that is in my genre or that's similar to mine and this author. And I think it's their birthday or their book birthday, whatever you want to do. And I'm just going to spend the whole week praising that book, reading it, making fun little images. I'm just going to make it feel like this work matters. And I'm just going to talk about that. So you can do marketing that has nothing to do with you or your book. It's just all about what you know your ideal readers already like. Similarly, if you don't want to do something that public, just send someone a nice email. This is something I always have writers do, and they always resist. It's the idea of, you know, find a writer that you really admire. Ideally, they're not an ultra super celebrity because they might not get the email, but find someone who's like mid-list. And just send them a nice email. Maybe it's a podcast, not a writer. Maybe it's someone who runs a writing conference that you love. Just send them a generous email where you talk to them about what their work has meant to you, thank them for it, tell them maybe you've shared it or whatever, and then that's it. You don't have to promote yourself. It's this little gift that we have. And if you're not sure how to market your work, how to do outreach, just start with that. Start with these little emails that are, as you said, filled with generosity.
I love that, Dan. I love the premise of generosity, of giving to someone else. It really, I don't know, takes the marketing out of marketing in some ways, makes it feel a lot better. This question of author platform, you know, it's definitely a must. I think the two words author platform are just intimidating unto themselves. And many people wonder, what is an author platform? Everyone has to do it. And I'd love if you can just talk a little bit more about that connection between the heart-centered marketing and building a platform, and what you think actually constitutes an author platform. And I'm especially curious, maybe if you have a story of a client or someone you know who's impressed you with how they built their author platform. I think hearing the specifics of a story would be wonderful.
Yeah. So the way I've always defined author platform is it's about two things. It's about communication and trust. It's about your ability to communicate what you write, why you write it, what you care about. In the process, you're engendering a sense of a trusting relationship, a trusting connection with people. And if you have those two things, you have all of what branding is, all of author platform, all of how to use Twitter, all of what does a book launch and a marketing campaign look like. You know, a really straightforward story in terms of what that looked like when I was working with Miranda Beverly Whittemore on her book launch, and we got to the point in the book launch timeline where it said, do a giveaway. And she texted me and she's like, I think we got to do a giveaway. And we're both just not excited about it because, you know, she didn't really want to be out there just, you know, promoting her book. And I didn't want her to do that either. So we just started bouncing ideas. And where we landed in the end was saying we brought in another partner, someone who she knew of and had a slight connection with, but didn't know really well, who's Julie Fierro. And basically the end result was we spent 30 days, a month promoting other people's books who were coming out at the same time as Brand. These were all generally kind of Brooklyn writers. They were all generally in the literary fiction category. So there's a lot of connection to her, but I don't know if she knew any or many of the authors in that list. What we did was we created a whole promotion where every day we shared an interview with that author and we gave away their book. So 5 days a week for, you know, every day, every week for a month, we gave away someone else's book. We featured them. Then at the end, we did a big giveaway where you got everyone's book. So what happened here is that these other authors who were as nervous about their book launch as anyone, how often do you get an email from someone saying, hey, I want to promote your book for you. And look, I've got these other 20 plus authors in there too. So we're doing that. You're going to be in this thing with all these other people. All we need is a little bit of time for an interview and two books. And it was really wonderful. It was the type of thing that spread well beyond Miranda's network. But even more than that, it really gave her these really close connections with Julia and with the other 20 plus authors. And she still is connected to most of those other authors today. And I think it's a powerful thing to think about, not just that she was generous, not just that she promoted her own book, which we did, but she has these relationships years later that are really powerful literary relationships.
Thank you for the specifics of that. I think it's so important for people to hear what's possible when you're starting from sort of nothing, you know, other than just the power of your connections. So in closing, Dan, you have a new book that you're working on, and it hasn't been all that long since your last book, Be the Gateway. I love the title that I think you're going with, which is Share Like It Matters. I'd love to hear a bit about the new book, and how is it that you're in such a prolific period in your own creative life?
So the new book is sort of the next step after Be the Gateway. So it's this idea of how do we marry the idea of creating more with sharing our work and feeling good about it. Really a lot of what we talked about here of making it feel like we create for a reason and a purpose. And when we connect it with people, it is just a matter of living that purpose and of having really meaningful moments with people. For the idea of being prolific, it's interesting. I'm 10 years of doing what I do full time now, and it's a little company. It's the only thing that supports my family. All I do is work with writers. And when you do this type of work, when you're on your own, whether you're a writer or you have a business or not, I think it's always easy to feel like there's more that you should do. This person did that. I know I should be doing more of this. One thing that I do is I just try to make a habit of creating, and it just becomes this idea that I'm living the work, that I'm always writing, I'm always talking to writers, I'm always thinking about what is a meaningful way to connect with other people. So I just try to always keep that central to my life.
Awesome. And you're doing a great job at that. So thank you so much, Dan. Thanks for coming on and sharing your expertise with us today.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dan. This was inspiring.
Thank you.
We will be right back, everyone, with Brooke's Takeaway this week.
All right, everybody. The takeaway today is to practice sharing with authenticity. What are the things that you have to share that you really care about? And in thinking about Dan's upcoming book, Share Like It Matters, what matters to you? What are the things that you would share without reservation? What are the stories and links and ideas and messages that you gravitate toward that you share on social media? Do you feel like you're showing off when you share things that you care about? Do you feel like you're bragging? I'd venture to say you probably don't. When you share things that you truly care about, that you're proud of, you know, even if there's an element of pride in that, true pride of a job well done, or true pride for your own children, or your excitement about the things that you're passionate about, that kind of stuff lands with others in a contagious kind of way. And it's all about how we share with authenticity and a desire for connection. So the offering here is to pay attention to what you share, why you share, and what most resonates with others, online and offline. And start to tune your antenna to what matters to you. And if you have a fraught relationship with sharing, like maybe you beat yourself up or you angst over putting your words into the world, be gentle with yourself, be mindful, gauge the authenticity of what you're sharing. Ask yourself if this is something you care about. And if the answer is yes, do it and allow for the process to become easier and less fraught over time.
Thanks so much, Brooke. And before people depart, I want you to remember three things. Right Minded is a weekly podcast. You can download it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And number three, please drop in a note or rate us if you have a moment. And number four, we'll see you next week with another fabulous guest. Bye-bye.